This weekend starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Final grade is a failing one. I'm Gordon Deal. Jennifer Koschenka is off. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Coming up this hour, this full hour, as the school year comes to a close, the emergency experiment known as remote learning did not produce positive results in the wake of the pandemic. Also, how nonprofits can weather the new reality after feeling the impact of coronavirus lockdowns. Plus, a two-year-old boy from Washington has gone viral for how polite he is. You'll hear examples. And how your personality traits might determine your financial success.
You can take a quiz that will score you on these five different dimensions, and you can get a sense for whether you tend to be highly conscientious or your sort of dominant trait is that you're an extrovert. And once you do that, you can start to get some sense for what the impact is on your financial life.
Jonathan Clements at HumbleDollar.com on how neuroticism, for example, might hurt your money habits. Well, this spring, America took an involuntary crash course in remote learning. With the school year now winding down, the grade from students, teachers, parents, and administrators is already in. It was a failure. More from Tawnell Hobbs, education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Tawnell, explain.
Well, you know, out the gate, schools moved to remote learning to continue educating students during the pandemic. But soon after, they realized it just wouldn't be as easily as they thought. There were so many kids, more than they expected, that had no internet or devices to learn on. Many teachers had no experience educating students remotely. And then parents, many were just not able to help because they were still working or they were just overwhelmed, especially those with multiple kids. Some parents just also had really big problems making that pivot to homeschool teacher and juggling everything else.
Yeah. I mean, at least from my personal experience in my own home with my own kids, sort of said this has been a lost half semester, basically. For some, maybe longer, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And there were a lot of parents that felt that way, and I've heard from them for probably the last 2.5 months when the realization hit, like, oh, my God, we can't keep this up. And some parents just really just outright gave up. And that's why some school districts are now debating, you know, do we, in the fall, you know, when they come back, if they come back, I guess, do we start back? Do we go back to March? Or how do we do this?
Yeah. So along those lines, there are some school districts, I think you said LA maybe, teachers have been instructed do not give failing grades because it has become too difficult to assess individual performances.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there were a lot of school districts, even some of the school districts that are very high performing just did not feel comfortable dishing out Fs, dishing out zeros, and in some cases just even giving grades, period, because they felt like there were some inequities out there. You had some students who, like I said, they couldn't get online. You had some parents that had to be at work, so therefore their kids were at home, and they didn't have that help that some other kids might have had. And then there were, like, some students had teachers that just, you know, were frustrated because they hadn't really been taught the platform, the remote learning platform. Mm-hmm. So there were just some concerns with grade and students because they felt that there were just too many inequities out there.
We're speaking with Tawnell Hobbs, education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "The Results Are In for Remote Learning and It Didn't Work." How did special needs students fare in all this?
Yes, and I've especially heard from special needs parents because it was even worse for them because a lot of times they have, you know, their own lesson plans where, you know, the kids might actually be one-to-one with an educator where they couldn't get that. And, you know, I talked to a lot of schools that just felt like, especially for them, this was really difficult because, you know, there are some parents that just, I mean, they had a hard enough time just teaching. And then when you throw in, you know, special needs, it was very tough, and I heard from a lot of parents of special needs children.
How about, I thought it was a good point that one teacher made, just saying we need the face-to-face because we need to see body language. We need to know sometimes if, you know, our message is being received. We can tell by, I don't know, slumping shoulders or eye contact right. not being made. You can on a Zoom call.
Exactly, and that was a big thing for teachers. They missed seeing that body language. They could not tell when a student had a confused look or struggled. Some kids were very self-conscious, even the ones that were, you know, that were in the Zoom classrooms. You know, a lot of them were just kind of stiff, and the teachers noticed that. And it was even worse for the districts. A lot of districts, what they did, because they couldn't get kids online, they rolled out, they printed up packages of work.
Mm-hmm.
Most time it was just one package that was going to last them the 2 or 3 months. Well, in those situations, it's like, there goes all the interaction. So that was a big thing with teachers, that they felt like they needed that face-to-face, and it was pretty difficult for them.
Thanks, Tonell. Tonell Hobbs, education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 12 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. We're experiencing an onslaught of crises, right? The COVID-19 pandemic, economic distress from layoffs, the nationwide unrest as police brutality is protested. The stress of it all can be suffocating. Psychologists call this crisis fatigue, and the prolonged impact of it can be devastating to your health and wellness. It can even be deadly. So how do you find relief from the stress when it's all around you? We're joined now by stress expert Janet McKee, author of a book called Stressless Success. Janet, tough times.
It is a challenging time, definitely, and we are all experiencing it. But let me just mention, it's also, in a way, an exciting time. We are living through history making here. And when we begin to look at these challenges, Gordon, literally create a desire for better, that solutions can come to us and we can create a better result for everyone because of this challenge and the desire that it fuels. So it can be viewed as a very exciting time, and by viewing it differently, it reduces the stress.
Mm. All right. So what are some of the signs maybe are that we're kind of overwhelmed with all this news? Are we snapping at our spouses or kids or not sleeping? What's going on?
Oh, all of the above, exactly. So even if you are sleeping and you're feeling fatigue, even after getting rest, you know that you're dealing with this underlying chronic level of crisis and stress. But then also, yeah, the tempers flare, or you just feel that you've lost the zest for life and you cannot find your joy anymore. All of these things are signs that you're dealing with it.
I think even if you're not aware of it, I guess it can kind of suck the life out of you at times.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what stress is doing. You hit the nail on the head, Gordon, because when you allow stress to continue to percolate, then you go into this fight or flight mode, and it drains blood from your brain so you can't even think clearly, but it suppresses your immune system, increases inflammation, messes up your ability to sleep well, and all of that just makes the situation worse. It literally is sucking the life out of you.
Is there such thing, Janet, as like a healthy amount of stress?
Well, you know, if you view it that way, absolutely is. And research has shown those that believe that stress actually can be a good thing, because like I described, it fuels that desire for change, then you do not feel all of that resistance from stress. You actually are energized by a stressful situation. So that is something that can be good for you. And again, it's all based on your attitude toward the challenge and how you're focusing on it.
We're speaking with Janet McKee. She's a stress expert, also author of a book called Stressless Success. We're talking about crisis fatigue, which has creeped into the lives of many people with all this going on right now. Sometimes, as you point out, this goes too far. How do we reel it back in?
Too many people, Gordon, talk about, oh, you just need to think positively and you just need a positive mindset. Well, you cannot do that when you're really challenged. And I actually say and explain in Stressless Success that it can make the situation worse. What I recommend instead is you just take one step at a time. Think a small thought that feels better. Everything is about your energy, which comes from your feeling. So just take it one step at a time and say, okay, we're dealing with a challenge. We are smart people. We're a strong country. We will get through this and we'll be better for it and so forth and so on. So just little thoughts. But if you can't think even like little thoughts, or you begin to start to feel that discomfort of stress again, then just turn away. Turn away from the subject and do something that makes you feel better.
Do you ever blame, say, images or videos shown on TV or online?
Yes, that's an issue if we're constantly watching. Is that what you mean? Those upsetting videos.
Yeah.
If you're constantly putting yourself in front of that, then you're constantly feeding your mind and body reasons to continue to feel that crisis and to feel, you know, the stress and helplessness and hopelessness. So turn away from that and begin to allow in just slightly better feeling thoughts and attitudes, and allow in. Are you focusing on the problem or are you focusing on the solution?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're focusing, when you're looking at those videos again and again and again, you're focusing on the problem, and that's blocking the solution.
All right, I know, and we probably know broadly, stress can be deadly. But in what way? Like, what's actually happening to us?
When you experience chronic stress, your body goes into this fight or flight mode, like as if you're fighting a tiger, right? Either you need to fight or run. And when that happens, blood drains from your brain to go to your extremities so that you can fight or run. But the increase in inflammation, it suppresses your immune system because your body's focused on fighting or running, right? Your immune system is suppressed. But worst of all, I think, is it messes up your melatonin. And when you're not getting sleep, it destroys your body's ability to fight disease, especially viruses, and does so much to mess up your hormones and everything. And when you're exhausted, you're not only able to feel energized and healthy, but you're unable to think clearly about the very topics that are stressing you out.
Thanks, Janet. Janet McKee, stress expert. Again, the book is called Stressless Success. 21 minutes after the hour on This Weekend. Let's clear the air, literally. I'm talking about Molecule. It's air purification reinvented for every room in every home. It's not just an innovation for existing technology. It's a scientific breakthrough in air purification. Molecule's core technology, photoelectrochemical oxidation, or PECO for short, doesn't just collect particles on a filter. It actually destroys harmful pollutants in the air, like viruses, bacteria, mold, and chemicals. The patented PECO technology in all Molecule devices helps reduce risk of exposure to viruses in the home or workplace, something more vital now than ever. Whether you need the Molecule Air for large spaces or Air Mini for small rooms, pick what's best for you or create a discounted bundle to help protect your entire home, office, or medical or dental practice against pollutants. For 10% off your first air purifier order, visit Molecule.com and enter Gordon at checkout. That's Molecule.com. Molecule.com and at checkout, enter Gordon. Thanks for being with us. A recent survey of some 800-plus nonprofits finds nearly all of them have been negatively affected by the spread of the coronavirus. Perhaps no surprise. How can they survive? Here's This Weekend's Jennifer Koschenka.
It's been a tough financial time for families, individuals, businesses, and charities. A recent survey of nonprofits found that almost 95% have been hurt by the spread of the coronavirus. Here with some tips on how to navigate fundraising during this time is Brittany Franklin, founder and CEO of Sky High for Kids. Brittany, what is Sky High?
Sky High for Kids is a nonprofit organization that raises money to fight childhood cancer. And we are aimed to end pediatric cancer not only nationwide, but globally.
What has your group been able to do over the past couple of months?
Well, we've been hit with a perfect storm, not only combined with COVID canceling major events, which is how we primarily fundraise, but the oil and gas industry is our backbone and donor base. So, again, in a perfect storm, to say the least. But we've gotten very creative with our team members, and we've created some different campaigns that really do not need people to gather in person. For instance, our virtual gala, which was a huge success, and we raised just over $100,000. It was extremely entertaining. We even had country music star John Rich tune in. And so that was a really creative way for us to use technology and still be able to reach our donors and the community to spread awareness about the severity of childhood cancer. In addition, we're getting ready to launch 100 Days of Summer and a huge yard sign campaign. So we put our heads together, got creative, and, you know, said our mission is not canceled. Cancer is not canceled, and these kids are fighting for their lives, and we cannot give up on them. And so we've managed to work together and really try to pull together some great ideas to get through what I'm calling this deep ditch, if you will.
We're speaking with Brittany Franklin, founder and CEO of Sky High for Kids. Brittany, do you think some of the things that you've done at Sky High can translate to other nonprofits?
I sure do. I think some of the things that we've done at Sky High can help other nonprofits. I urge leaders to put their teams together and challenge each team member to come up with their own fundraising idea and then come back to the drawing table and vote on the best one that can be executed in a timely manner, as well as totally put the mission first and still be able to grab the public's attention. And so whether it is using technology that we have access to these days through AV or just basically your own cell phone, down to ways that an individual can pass a yard sign to their neighbor and, you know, share that mission. And so all of these ideas that we came up with are able to be used by other nonprofits.
What is important about human connection at a time like this when we are in such a crisis?
Human connection is super important. We're all seeing the fact that we need each other. We want to see, touch, and feel other humans. It has been quite a challenge. We would gather 600 minimum to 2,000 people at our major events, and there's just so much camaraderie and love and compassion for what we're all there for. And so you're learning and seeing how much we all really need that, and we want that to come back. But we need to continue to work together as a society and as a community, not to give up on the things that were going on and are still going on right now today. Childhood cancer is the number one cause of death by disease in this country, and over 400,000 children are diagnosed every single year. So there is a lot of work to do for our children.
That's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka with Bethany Franklin, founder and CEO of Sky High for Kids. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Gordon to start shaving better today. Thanks for spending part of your time with us. I'm Gordon Deal. Coming up this half hour, essential workers just can't get a break. Also, using your personality traits to manage your money. Plus, how the pandemic has brought out kids' sneaky side and a 2-year-old's politeness going viral. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, the fallout from ongoing protests is posing a new threat to essential workers during the pandemic. While many businesses and workers may be in favor of the message behind the rallies for equal treatment of black people, unforeseen curfews and sporadic acts of violence have had adverse consequences for the workers that society relied on during the coronavirus lockdown. It's a story by Dalvin Brown, reporter at USA Today. Dalvin, what's being said?
Obviously, you know, most people tend to be supporters of the movement that's happening right now. But, you know, one of the adverse effects of these protests has fallen on essential workers who are losing hours. And so I wanted to talk to those people and find out, you know, how are these, you know, these protests that you're in favor of, you know, how are they impacting your paycheck on the back end?
All right, so you opened the story with this one, Brianna Secreto, right, works in a convenience store in the Philly area, and basically it's a phone call from her boss saying, don't come in. And she's thinking, man, seriously, we survived the pandemic lockdowns and now this.
Yeah, so and that was one of the things that I found really interesting, too. It's not just like retail workers, specifically essential workers, right, who we've all depended on for the past several months. Their stores have been open, but now with the protests, you know, those stores, a lot of them are closing in metro areas throughout this country, or at least cutting back hours. So, like, what does that mean for the person who worked the overnight shift at the medical counter or at the convenience store? You know, what happens? Those shifts are cut, and those people go without work. So in her case, you know, for 3 days in a row, she was unable to go to work because of the curfew. They just cut those hours out. And, you know, I had also spoke with an Uber Eats driver who was saying, you know, I usually deliver people's dinner, but now with the curfew, I can't be out. You know, we can't even use the service. He lost money for that.
We're speaking with Dalvin Brown, consumer technology reporter at USA Today. His piece is called Essential Workers Just Can't Get a Break. Pay Lost During Protests as Stores Curb Hours and Honor Curfews. You referenced, too, in the story how stores have adjusted these operating hours, too. And that, of course, creates some chaos, especially, say, if you have kids. You know, you're scrambling to find coverage, maybe, if you're working different hours.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And also, you know, if for people who are working multiple jobs, you know, it's creating a problem. You know, there was a bartender I spoke with who, two of her, both bars started shutting down early during, you know, bartenders usually work in the evening. Yeah. And so there's absolutely no money or opportunity there for her. It's just one of those things you don't necessarily think about. But there are people who are dealing with that.
All right. So you point out in the story, these hours don't come back. It's like meals not eaten at a restaurant. You suddenly just don't say, let me help the restaurant. I'll eat 8 meals today. It doesn't work that way. How do these folks survive? What are they doing?
Yeah, so, you know, thankfully the protests were relatively short-lived, at least the ones that were having impacts on curfews, and a lot of the curfews have been lifted, so those people are returning to work. But sadly, you know, it's what happens when, you know, what do when you lose money? You cut back where you can. You know, for some of them it was only a few days. With one, it was up to a week, but, you know, a lot of that's being felt, you know, in the coming weeks as those paychecks get cut. So, you know, immediately they haven't necessarily felt the impact. But, you know, a week, 2 weeks out, you know, this Friday when they get their check and it's shorter, it's obviously going to lead to some issues up ahead. One person I spoke to said that her rent was late. Mm-hmm. She had to pay the rent late due to this. So yeah.
And the trickle down from that can be huge, right?
Absolutely.
If she's late, then the owner of the property is late.
Right.
And it gets all kinds of messy at times.
Yeah, for sure. You know, if the protests prolong, especially in these big cities where, you know, there's lots of people and there's unfortunately been some looting happening, there's tons of workers that are impacted by that.
All right. Thanks, Dalvin. Dalvin Brown, reporter at USA Today. It is 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, glad you're with us. Does your personality help determine your financial success? It seems it does, or so says academic research. Psychologists have zeroed in on 5 key personality traits: extroversion, conscientiousness, agreeableness, neuroticism, and openness to experiences. Here's what each represents when it comes to money, from Jonathan Clements, founder of HumbleDollar.com. Jonathan, take us through this.
So psychologists have settled on these 5 key personality traits, and the 5 are the degree to which you're an extrovert, how conscientious you are, how agreeable you tend to be, how open you are to new experiences and ideas, and then what they call neuroticism. And neuroticism isn't quite the same as being neurotic, though it's sort of related. Neuroticism is more about, you know, people who struggle with moodiness or anger or depression. And you might think of the flip side of neuroticism as being even-tempered. So what psychologists have done is they've created this sort of 5-part personality scheme, and you can actually go on the internet, just put in 5 personality traits quiz, and you can take a quiz that will score you on these 5 different dimensions, and you can get a sense for whether you tend to be highly conscientious or your sort of dominant trait is that you're an extrovert. And once you do that, you can start to get some sense for what the impact is on your financial life.
Interesting. All right. So if you're the conscientious type, are you most likely to be a saver?
Yeah. In terms of financial success, being conscientious is probably the best attribute you can have. Not only do you tend to be careful about taking on debt, you tend to be a good saver, you tend to be good at your job, very diligent, so you tend to have a reasonable amount of career success. And of course, no big surprise here, if you're conscientious, you tend to be a good planner. So when I think about people who are best suited to be do-it-yourself investors, managing their own portfolio, they don't necessarily need to go to a financial planner. Probably the one group who succeed in that area is going to be somebody who's conscientious.
Mm. We're speaking with Jonathan Clements. He's the founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. We're talking about personality traits and how they might affect your approach to money. All right, so if you tend to trend more toward openness, what are you likely to be?
So if you're open to experiences and ideas, you tend to be a more creative type. And what that means is that, you know, when in the workplace, you tend to be more proactive, you're going to tackle your work tasks with energy and imagination, and so you'll probably enjoy a fair amount of career success. But because of this openness to experiences and ideas, these folks tend to be not quite as good at saving money, and they tend to be higher spenders, in part because, you know, they want to go out and explore the world. So they're going to go out to concerts, they're going to travel, and as a consequence, you know, they'll spend more and save less.
How about the neurotic types? What are they like with their money?
So people who tend towards neuroticism tend to have less career and financial success. And what's really driving their lack of financial success is they tend to be less successful in terms of their career. And you can imagine this. If somebody's not particularly upbeat, they tend to be moody. These are people who are not going to do well in an office environment, and therefore they don't tend to have that much career success. And as a consequence, because they're earning less money, they're going to have less money to save.
Thanks, Jonathan. Jonathan Clements, founder and editor of HumbleDollar.com. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Hey, glad you're with us. Children have always been sneaky when it comes to tech, but they have become even more so during the coronavirus pandemic as they wrestle with more idle time and social isolation. Julie Jargon, who writes the family and tech column at the Wall Street Journal, has been speaking with parents to get their stories. Julie, what are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is that kids have gotten really bored during the pandemic, which is not a surprise. And of course, they've got extra time on their hands, and you combine that with being lonely for friends, and you've got a recipe for some sneaky behavior. So I'm hearing that a lot of kids are downloading video games and apps that their parents had not permitted before, and also turning to burner phones, kind of old phones that they might find around the house that still work on Wi-Fi, and using those to evade parental controls.
Some of them can be pretty persistent too, right? Even after they get busted the first time.
Yeah, I spoke to the parents of one little girl, 8 years old, who was caught looking, using her Chromebook in the middle of the night, and her parents decided to lock it up. And she picked the lock to her mom's home office and got her Chromebook out in the middle of the night.
Now, they took it away again, didn't they? Or they stashed it high on a shelf? Wasn't she the one where they had to, like, put it out of reach?
Yeah, they had to hide it on a very high shelf in their bedroom closet. So they haven't had any problems with her getting it since.
Wow. So are they mostly interested in watching just YouTube videos? I mean, my daughter watches these just idiotic YouTubers, in my opinion. But they want to play games, or they just connect with kids who are also awake, like in the middle of the night with nothing to do?
Yeah, all of the above. I talked to one parent who suspected something was going on with her 14-year-old son. He was sleeping in a lot later than normal. She thought maybe he was up playing video games on his Nintendo Switch. She discovered that he had taken one of her old phones and found out a way to get more access to Snapchat, as well as some other social media apps that connect you with a lot of people. And turns out he was talking to hundreds of kids, you know, communicating on these different social media apps in the wee hours of the morning on this this phone that he figured out how to make work.
Holy cow. We're speaking with Julie Jargon. She writes the family and tech column for the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "Pandemic Brings Out Kids' Sneaky Side with Forbidden Apps and Burner Phones." So the advice here is what? Because obviously this is a tug of war inside the home between parents and kids who are bored.
It is. And of course, this has been going on since before the pandemic. The pandemic has just exacerbated this or amplified this because kids have extra time on their hands and are also, you know, really struggling with the social isolation that's come with the pandemic. But what a lot of experts say is that, you know, our first instinct as parents is often to say no. You know, you hear about some app or video game and it doesn't sound good to you, so you forbid your kids from doing it. And experts say that's not really the right way to start. The more effective way to start with your kids is to explore that app, play that video game along with your child so that you understand what it's all about and why your child likes it.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Jargon, family and tech columnist at the Wall Street Journal. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Weekend. Thanks for being with us. A toddler who constantly thanks his mother each time she offers him food is getting tons of love on TikTok. Linda Meeker recently posted the compilation on the video sharing app where it received more than 14 million views. The footage shows a 2-year-old boy named Gray saying, "Thank you, Mama," each time he accepts a meal or snack.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama.
Ms. Meeker, who lives in Washington, told Good Morning America that her lessons on politeness are consistent and repetitive. She says it's the norm for the toddler. Ms. Meeker said Gray likely learned politeness from his parents, who thank each other for small gestures. She started posting to TikTok just for fun in February, never expecting Gray to gain such a large following. When he's not busy being a viral sensation, Gray loves fire trucks, putting on sunscreen, eating olives, and paying a visit to the wild goose that lives in his neighborhood. That'll do it for this hour. I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.